What do you make of Kuku? Do you think he could slot in ahead of Russell and Jones?
I think he could slot in ahead of Russell, or ahead of Jones right now. I mean, if he goes in, plays really, really well, and everything that they're hearing off of, you know, the taxi squad practices and what is that he looks like he's in great shape and is going well. Yeah, I could see him nip it at Caleb Jones's heels for sure. Jones hasn't had a super strong finish here. And I think the Oilers like the idea of being a little bigger on the back end to manage some of the forwards coming at him for Winnipeg. So let's wait and see. Don't forget, Slater Cuckoo was good in the play-in last year. He's a veteran. And so, yeah, once again, this is a situation where Caleb Jones hasn't really wrapped his arms around the opportunity sitting in front of him and squeezed onto it to the point where he's not letting anybody take it. It's kind of... he's created a few jump balls here, and that's with Oscar Klefbom not around. So we'll see. I'd like to see Caleb Jones play in the playoffs. I'd like to see if he can elevate his game. I'd like to see, you know, they have some decisions to make just in terms of how worried do they need to be about him getting plucked off, you know, whether it's by Seattle. You know, so I think it would be good for the organization to see Caleb Jones in the postseason, but they got to throw their best lineup out there, and he's just not – really, really grabbing on to the thing. One of the things that's helped them is that Lagesson's game had fallen off a little bit too.
That's fair. Well, Lagesson's foot speed, I think, is what holds him back a little bit. And you know, Jones, a young guy, and you know, I think they look at just, you know, defensive structure and composure maybe more than anything else. Jones can do a lot. He still at times will make those you know, kind of egregious giveaways that we saw in the last game against Montreal. It didn't result in a goal, but definitely those are ones that whether it's fair or not, the coach sees that and they stick out for sure. Nygaard just getting another guy in like Turris, is that what you see there?
Yeah, I think you want to have guys prepared in case you need them in the playoffs, and you don't want it to have been long stretches of time since they've been able to play. So they just want to get guys up and running, and it's a game where you can afford to slot some guys in and some guys out. And McLeod wasn't on the ice today, though. Haas was skating on that line, but I would assume if he's feeling better, maybe he goes. Although, you know, if you're not feeling great today, I don't know that you're necessarily ready tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I think, you know, they probably just want to get Haas in a game too, though. I could see that for sure. You know, he hasn't played in a while, and, you know, McLeod is still a rookie, right? So
and he's coming off a tough outing. Of all of his games, it was probably one of the tougher ones that he had. So, but that's fine. Rookies are going to go through that kind of thing. You know, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, completely. We see the matchups around the NHL. Where do you see the Winnipeg Oilers matchup? I have Edmonton as a pretty strong favorite.
Yeah, so unless the Winnipeg Jets are able to find a formula that they didn't find all year, which is how to keep McDavid quiet, I don't see this getting, you know, even to six games. McDavid just ran roughshod over these guys all year long, and he was so dominant. So unless we're sitting there talking about, wow, the Jets have done a great job on McDavid after struggling to all year long, and holy smokes, you know, Josh Morrissey is really doing something incredible here, and good for him. And I don't think we'll be talking about that. I just think Connor's on a mission, and he's been just too good. And you know, there's a certain type of defenseman that I think has a chance to have that kind of success against McDavid, and the Jets don't really have those guys, right? It's the taller, you know, smooth-skating, rangy guys that can, I think, you know, we saw the Montreal Canadiens and the Toronto Maple Leafs throw those types of guys out there and have more success. I was looking at the matchups today, man. Like, McDavid is just, you know, even, you know, whether it was Pionk earlier in the year and then Josh Morrissey, I mean, he's just eaten up every matchup the Winnipeg Jets have thrown at him. So I don't know how this gets to six games if McDavid is going to continue doing what he's done against the Jets.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just, you know, Connor Hellebuyck, you know, you look at it, you know, Money Puck and a few other places have it, and Connor Hellebuyck is he just faces so many top-end shots, and you know, he's been able to stop the other teams, but he hasn't been able to stop McDavid and Draisaitl, because if you give him that many chances, you're screwed. And I don't know if the Jets are capable of changing their system enough here in 6 days under Paul Maurice to suddenly be able to just play like a, maybe they're going to try to play a left-wing lock, I don't know. right, to what they'll do in the postseason. And the other thing is, without Nikolaj Ehlers, they're just not as dangerous 5-on-5. You still got to respect them, no doubt, but I think losing Nikolaj Ehlers hurts them more than people think.
Well, they're hoping he'll be ready to go, aren't they? I mean, aren't they? I don't know if he'll be close to 100%.
No, he was in a non-contact jersey today. I heard he's not going to be ready for game one.
Not going to be ready for game one, hey? Okay. Yeah, and that's a big loss for them. Waters down their top six quite a bit. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason the Oilers had the record against them that they did this year. And I think, you know, if they find a way to keep McDavid off the board, then I probably lean towards the secondary scoring and the depth that Winnipeg has and the goaltending. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that to McDavid the way he's been going, and Draisaitl in particular, too. So I think you have to lean their way just because of the hockey that they're playing and that they're getting from their big stars, and because the Jets have had chances all year to keep those guys in check and haven't really been that close.
No, they have. Like, McDavid has 22 points against the Jets this season. And, you know, other guys were point-of-game players, which is obviously usually very good. It's just McDavid's production is in, like, a different stratosphere that everybody pales in comparison. But,
yep.
You know, him and Cahoon, he'll play with Puljujärvi and Cahoon, Drysdale, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto. And then, you know, it looks like McLeod would chase on and Neil, although who knows, maybe it'll be Haas. We'll wait and see. But I'm kind of intrigued just to see what Paul Maurice does with the Adam Lowry line. Like, who does he try to match up Lowry against? Because they tried Scheifele early in the year, Shager, it didn't work. Then they tried Lowry, and they did okay for a bit, and then McDavid just exploded later. So I don't know if there's a real answer. And I look at the Jets' defense. Like, I like Pionk. They'll try him. I just don't think Pionk is big enough to be a shutdown D-man.
Yeah, well, the last couple of games of the year, they got away from trying Pionk against McDavid much at all. Like, it was mainly Morrissey. DeMello played a reasonable amount against him as well. I'm just looking at even the year-long matchup at even strength. The most he's seen was Scheifele at 84.5 minutes, and he just absolutely dominated that matchup. And the second most was Josh Morrissey. And then Pionk is third in terms of matchup minutes. But late in the year, it was mostly Morrissey in the games that they played. And, yeah, I'm not sure it's the right kind of D-man to play against McDavid. You know, so they may try. It'll be interesting to watch and see if Paul Maurice, you know, how big a difference it is from games 1 and 2 to games 3 and 4, if a last change really does make that big a difference. But it's kind of pick your poison, right, because you got Draisaitl, who will be highly motivated as well. So I think just the sheer top end power gives the Oilers a significant edge. Now, as you work your way through the depth, I like what Winnipeg has depth-wise a little better. They've got some good players. Adam Lowry could be a real key, man. Pierre-Luc Dubois, too. Like, he needs to play like a high-end star player for these guys to have a chance to get past Edmonton. He needs to be every bit what they traded for. He needs to find his best hockey of the season. Here's a question for you. Who will play better this series, Pierre-Luc Dubois or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? Critical secondary players for both teams that could each make a big difference.
Huh, that's a good question. Yeah, Dubois hasn't been very good at all.
Hopkins has finished stronger.
Yeah, he's you know what? And hey, he can be a streaky scorer for sure if he gets going. And I think I'll just say this. I think Nugent Hopkins has a better chance because he plays with Draisaitl, and then he plays with Draisaitl and McDavid on the power play. That's the big key. Are we talking 5-on-5 or just overall points? Because
I think we know Nugent Hopkins will get his looks on the power play and probably produce some there. Does Dubois occupy a main space on the top power play for Winnipeg?
They kind of rotate around.
If I can find it here, first power play unit, if this is accurate, on daily faceoff, Connor, Stastny, Wheeler, Scheifele, and Pionk. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. It looks like he's on the second unit based on this. But I mean more 5-on-5, right? You get roll in the lines, and how's Dubois going to do, how's it going to look in that matchup, whichever line he ends up matching up against? And he's going to have to be the best player on his line for the Jets to have a chance, whereas Nugent Hopkins isn't necessarily going to have to do that.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. As the Oilers do wrap up the regular season tomorrow against Vancouver, an afternoon start, and then the NHL playoffs begin. Boston, Washington, and the Boston. We're gonna have Brian.
How good is that
gonna be? Oh, I love. Well, it's gonna. You want to just to compare the Oilers game and then compare it to the like. It's gonna be so different.
Yeah.
But I look. We have Brian Engblom coming up. I think the two toughest series to pick is Boston, Washington, Tampa, Florida. Both very close series. Who do you like in the Boston, Washington, and why?
You know, I think the Boston Bruins really found something at the deadline. You know, I think in bringing in Taylor Hall, they've kind of, it just clicked and it just worked. And he's in a good spot. He seems to be in a good headspace. He's going to be raring to go. You know, they've got infinitely more experience in net. They've got infinitely, like the leadership group in there is just, they just know how to do this. So, I don't know, man. I think the edge in net potentially with the experience, the addition that they made. I might lean a little towards Boston there. You?
Yeah, I picked the Bruins. I think it's a really tight series. I do. I think the Bruins, like David Krejci and Taylor Hall both have loved that marriage together.
Hall,
it's been great for both players, and I think that like Boston's top line carried them last year. They didn't have much secondary scoring this year, though. Now they have a second line, and I like Boston's goaltending with experience and even their depth. Tuukka Rask and Swayman Moore. So I think it's close, but I'll lean slightly towards Boston because the injuries coming off for Oshie as well as Ovechkin. I think that plays a part.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. The other one will be interesting too. Like the battle of Florida will be great. I would love for Alexander Barkov to lead the charge in an upset. You know, just when I say I would love, I cheer for the story a little bit. And he's just one of the most hidden players in the game, right? He's just a fantastic, fabulous player that nobody, you know, other like the casual fan wouldn't really talk much about him, or maybe doesn't quite get just how good this guy is. And so it would be great to see him engage in a playoff series with a good team around him and be able to put a dent in some of the greats in the game right now, which they would do if they got past that team. So I think that'd be real interesting. But at the same time, you got arguably the best goalie on the planet over there. They're getting healthier and better. And, I don't know. Sometimes you're not so hungry to repeat. I don't know that that'll be the case with Tampa. So I think it'll be fun, but I probably would take Tampa. How about you?
Yeah, I actually took Florida.
Good for you, yeah.
Florida, I think Tampa, I wonder about, like, Kucherov coming back, obviously it's a massive wild card, right? He could come in and just, like, he's a Hart Trophy winning player. Like, those guys, they just have elite ability. He can probably come back, be fired up. But him and Stamkos, to me, though, it's the injury to Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman is banged up again. We saw in 2019 when Hedman wasn't healthy how much he impacts the game. And I think Florida's really good. Like Sam Bennett's added a lot. Carter Verhaeghe, you know what? He was out for a month, Shogger. He came back, scored a goal, first game back. The guy's got 18 goals in 43 games. Like, gives them a lot of scoring depth.
Yeah,
you know,
they added the radar addition for them, hey?
Oh, Gusev. Like, I'll say this. I think Zito should be the GM of the year in the NHL. You look at the guys he signed for the money and the production that they're getting. It's like, so the, you look at Verhaeghe, he's been great. Duclair's been a bargain deal. Then you got Bennett at the deadline. He's killing it. You got Gusev, right? This year, the moves they've made for impact guys on that team is, too often when they vote, it's, you know, they can, consider stuff that happened the year before. I don't care about what happened last. This is all about what you did this year. And, you know, Patrick Hornquist trades been unreal for them. Alexander Wenberg, another free agent signing. Like, there's six guys, man. Like, I don't see how he doesn't win.
Yeah, the only thing that might catch up with them is losing Aaron Ekblad. Like, that might hurt them. He was having a good year, and he is hugely important to them. So I don't know if they can overcome that, but I don't think you're crazy for picking them. I definitely don't. And then I think it's Pittsburgh all day long over the Islanders, Vegas over Mini. So, yeah.
It's good. You have Vegas over Mini and Colorado. I think the West is easy. Vegas and Colorado are just like Frank Saravalli on the DFO or a rundown podcast we had. He threw out a great stat to me today that I didn't know. In 10 of 56 games this year, Vegas had to play with less than 18 skaters.
Yeah.
10 times. And out of those 10 games, 5 of their regulation losses came there. That cost them first place.
Yeah.
It cost them first place. And that might haunt them later on. But that Vegas, when they have a full roster, man, they're dominant.
Last year when I was covering all the games in the bubble, I thought Vegas was hurtling towards the Stanley Cup, man. The speed and the pace and the physicality they played at and the way they rolled and then the level of goaltending they were getting and the way the D sort of all worked together, you know. Just to the sum of their parts was so good on the back end, and I don't think anybody would be. I mean, there's so much power, you know, between Vegas and Colorado, those two teams right there. Holy smokes, it's gonna be fun, man. This is gonna be great. Doesn't it feel like not yet because the divisions are still playing, but you know, when you get ready for Memorial Cup every year, it's like teams have been playing in different leagues all year long, and then they get together to play each other, and you're like, oh, what's this gonna look like? It's going to feel like that in a lot of ways come the third round. I'm looking forward to it.
Should be fun, Sagar. Enjoy the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs all in the span of 3 hours tomorrow. Should be fun.
Okay, enjoy the weekend, pal.